You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
On this week's episode, I stopped in at Andina Brewing in East Vancouver to talk to the owner and their head brewer. Before we get started, here is a word from the Hopped Up Network.
On the Pints and Provisions podcast, we discuss the ins and outs of beer, brewing, and breweries, in addition to all those crafts that pair well with beer, such as bourbon, coffee, food, and cooking. Join Evan, Ryan, Mark, and Dan on each episode where we discuss those crafts we love to imbibe. Here's a clip.
I've got four full glasses over here. I need to figure out my glass situation before I pour this.
You're the one asking for more
own glasses. Yeah, he was the one that said, "What's next?"
Well, there's a bunch sitting out. I thought maybe I thought we were going to get those going, but
we are proud members of the Hopped Up Network, where you can find all our episodes, and also look for us on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean.com, as well as Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Cheers.
I find myself at Andina Brewing in East Vancouver. Can you introduce yourselves?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Andres Amaya. Everybody calls me Andy. I'm the owner of Andina.
And I'm Ben Greenberg. I'm the head brewer here.
Well, why don't we start with one of the fun kind of beer podcast questions. Is there a beer or brewery that got you interested in craft beer?
Oh, wow.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, it seemed like it was just so many at one time, like so many local breweries coming on, and I don't have a first one. I remember a time when all of a sudden I was buying a lot more different beer all the time.
Could there be a style that kind of blew your mind that brought you into craft beer then?
Yeah, I mean, I really like hoppy beers and always have, so I mean, there's a lot of West Coast IPAs that really blew my mind.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember drinking Fond du Monde and Trappistole and those Quebecois beers. I think yeah. Those were the first ones that I started drinking maybe 20 years ago or something like that.
And that's a good introduction to beer then, yeah. Back then, because out here there wasn't a ton going on really.
That's true. So those were the first ones that I tried and got into that after that.
I guess we'll start with you then. You're one of the founders of Andina Brewing.
Correct.
Do you have a background in brewing at all yourself?
I do not, no. Neither did my brother, actually. So we're drinking beer one day, of course, in his basement, and we wanted to get into business by ourselves. We wanted to open our own business, and we're contemplating what to do. We wanted to maybe do a franchise or something, and we're drinking beer. My brother goes like, "Hey, why don't we open a microbrewery?" And I turned around and said, "We don't know nothing about microbreweries. We don't even know how to brew." And sure enough, his answer was like, "Well, we'll find somebody that can do it for us." And one thing led to another, and that's what led us here. Yeah.
And did I read on your website you did a little bit of home brewing as well?
A little bit, not yeah. much, yeah.
Okay, just like yeah. me then, just a yeah. little bit.
A little bit.
I guess, what is your background in beer, too, then?
Well, yeah, mine started with drinking beer, for sure. And then quickly went into homebrewing. I did that for a long time, and that sort of escalated and grew. Started off on my stove until I had my first boil over, and then moved out into the garage, where it grew and grew. And then I wanted to make it a bit more serious, and I started doing Night Owl Brewing out of Callister, and that was awesome. 5-hack batches there and selling that, and that was amazing, and I didn't want to stop at all. I wanted to do it more, and that's around the time that I met Andy, and you know, we started chatting, and it seemed like a good fit, and it started here.
Awesome. All right, why don't we get into the background of Andina Brewing a little bit then? When did you guys open?
So we opened to the public on March 1st of last year, 2017. So it's been a little over a year and a half now.
Well, I mean, people could probably get the idea from your accent a little bit there that you didn't originate in Canada. Can you let people know where you came from originally?
Sure. I was born in Colombia, South America, and grew up there till the age of 16. Then I moved away and was in France for a while and went to the States for another while.
Yeah.
And then been here in Canada for 20 years exactly, to the date. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Nice. Yeah, thank really. You. That's amazing. What brought you to Canada?
Well, it was actually my brother. So my brother came here first. So he's been here 21 years. I've been here 20. And he just phoned me up and said, hey, you gotta come up here. Canada is great. And we were in the States before, both of us. And he just described Canada as being great. And, you know, 20 years later, no regrets. I feel that Canada is my home. So first generation here, and we'll see how my kids go after that.
Yeah, maybe they'll explore, right?
Yeah.
I guess you and your brother both started the brewery. Can you talk a little bit about your brother as well then?
Yeah, so my brother was doing basically the production area. He was looking into the setup of the tanks and all this part of the business while I was doing more the front part and the lounge and so forth. And yeah, so my brother and I were working for a while together, and you know, we had our differences and we decided that we couldn't work together. And I mean, it happens to the best of families.
Oh yeah.
And we had a mutual agreement that he was going to move along and just do something else while I stayed at the helm of Andina. It's unfortunate, but, you know, I think it was best for the business itself and for the relationship.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
It's hard to work with family because every time you get in a little argument, it can really explode when it's family members, right?
It's really hard. It's really, really hard, yeah.
So what made you decide to open up Andina Brewing in East Vancouver? I mean, it's a busy area for beer.
There was no doubt in our minds that we wanted to be in East Van. We actually looked many locations. We looked at a place near Dacorard in Burnaby. We looked at another location near the lounge of Steamworks on Boundary.
Oh, nice.
And we looked everywhere, and it just didn't click with us. So we were just looking. We wanted to be nearby the other breweries. That's where we wanted to be. And when we found this spot, it was no-brainer for us. We just jumped. And plus, you know, it's so hard to find a location now.
Oh, yeah. Real estate, it's crazy here.
It's crazy. So when we found this building, it was just, that's it.
Well, with breweries, the branding and the name are the majority of the story, really, when it comes down to it. What was the inspiration for the name of the brewery and the branding and your logo and everything?
So beer in Spanish, for those who don't know, beer in Spanish is female. So we wanted to bring up and represent South America as it is. So the inspiration behind our logo, which is La Pola, it's the lady in our logo. La Pola has two meanings in Spanish. La Pola is one of us Spanish heroines who help us liberate the country from the Spaniards. And then Pola is also beer. So give me a Pola means give me a beer. So those were the two sort of names that we drawn out of that. But our biggest sort of background, we wanted to explore a little bit of our heritage and our background and deliver something different, unique. So obviously, as by the moment that you walk in, you hear the music and the smells, the sounds, everything, it's South American, and that's what we wanted to deliver an experience based on, you know, on South America,
which yeah, for sure.
Every brewery has their own little story behind it, but ours is just bring our culture, merge it with the Canadian culture, and just deliver that sort of experience to everyone.
And is there a meaning to the name Andina, or is it just a...
Yes, so Andina is the lady that lives on the Andes Mountains.
Okay.
Just like you would be perhaps a Vancouverite.
Yeah.
Or a Torontonian. Is that the right way to say it. So, and Andina is the lady that lives on the Andes Mountains.
Like I said, there's a lot of breweries in Vancouver, and it can be tough to make a go here because there's just so much beer. What sets Andina apart from the rest?
Well, I'm going to let Ben answer a little bit about that as well, but I think that the first thing is we're using Chilean malts, and we are the first brewery in Canada, I believe, to use Chilean malts. It gives the beer a different profile simply because of the malts, right? And we wanted to work a little bit on around the different flavors, fruits and cane sugar paste, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll let you jump in if you want to say something.
The malts is really the starting and the biggest thing. It's been really great using the Patagonia malts. The Pilsner and Munich malts are fantastic. We've been using a lot of different fruits that, you know, are more South American flavor to them, and bringing that real Southern vibe to everything. And it's been it's been cool for the last few months being here and brewing those type of beers.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of a tropical vibe almost with the beers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to bring a little bit of a change to Andina with Ben being here. We wanted to separate ourselves a little bit from what we were doing before. So it seems to be that Vancouver and the beer drinkers want to have something different all the time, and they want to have a big variety, if I may say so.
Yeah, for sure.
So Andina before was just concentrating on four or five styles of beer, and you know, we quickly realized that we needed to make a change there. So our first set of orders with Ben was, okay, we're going to start creating new things, new beers, authentic, where we can attract more beer drinkers to us based on that. So as a result, Ben is doing several things. One is every Friday he's doing what we call Ben's Brews. And Ben is using the little pilot system that we have and doing a 50 liters. So every Friday you come to Andina, you'll find a different brew. So this past Friday we had a blackberry porter.
Yeah, with Colombian blackberries, which are a bit more tart than the local ones here. They worked really great in it. I've made blackberry porters before, but just with the local ones. And this was slightly different flavor, but worked fantastically. And it was awesome to use those fruit. And that's doing 52 different beers every year of just on the pilot system. They're not all going to have a Colombian feel to them.
No, of course not. Yeah.
But they're all going to be very different. And so far they've all been fantastic. So,
well, and if one really hits, you can always give it a Colombian twist, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
And you never know if it's a good triumphant success, then it becomes part of the core beers, right?
Yeah.
And so far, we've had one which has been really, really well received, which was the toasted coconut.
Coconut stout with cocoa nibs in it.
Exactly.
It turned out fantastic.
Ooh, that sounds amazing,
That beer was phenomenal. It didn't last the entire weekend. It was just like gone.
That's awesome. Great for this time of year.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's one thing that we're doing with Ben. And the second thing is we're doing limited releases now. We started with our Brumosa Hazy IPA, and there's a Pale Ale coming up, and after that we're doing some other stuff coming out like every month we're going to be releasing a new beer and see if, you know, that draws more attention to Andina. But for me, is more profiling Ben and his talent of brewing, and so far what he's done has been amazing, and we're really happy with that.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about your brew house then. Let's get into the brewery. What size is your brew house?
Brew house is a 25 hectoliter system, and then we have 60 hect fermenters, so we double batch into that. And it's made by Newlands, who have been amazing. The system works incredibly well. It's It's been a dream to work on.
Nice. Well, it's always good to have local equipment, because if anything goes wrong, you can get a hold of them and get it fixed quickly. Precisely. Too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. They've been great. I had a few questions when I started here for them, and they answered them right away. Their customer service has been fantastic.
Nice. What's your fermentation capacity then?
We have 460 hec fermenters right now.
That's a good amount.
Yeah, it does us.
So what kind of production do you have per year approximately? Do you know?
Well, last year we did...
I don't even have our total numbers.
No.
Well, you're still pretty new here, right?
Yeah, we did 1,200, more or less. So, yeah, we're hoping to double that this year.
Nice. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we talk about your core lineup of beers a little bit? Like we've talked about, you're trying to have a Colombian spin on them, but can you let people know what your core lineup is?
Yes. So, not very Colombian, but we start with our Kolsch.
Wow.
Yeah. You know,
a Kolsch would be delicious. Exactly. Drink in Colombia.
Yeah.
South America likes their lighter beers. So
precisely. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want to have a lager or a pilsner, which is that's what you find in South America, right?
Yeah.
You know, 4.2, 4.0 pilsner or lager everywhere you go. And it's like, it sounds a little boring to us. So we did a Kolsch, which is crisp, light, refreshing, like you said, and selling mm-hmm. really well. We're happy with that. After that, we have the blonde IPA called Monita. And Monita is slang for blonde girl in Colombia. So that seems to be very popular. It's a very good beer, and we call it the segue for IPA lovers. Mm-hmm. If you don't like IPAs, that's the perfect starter beer.
Yeah.
Because it's not too overpowering. Really, really nice. We have another one called Melcocha, which is made with organic cane sugar in it. So a little bit of the bitterness, but a little bit of the sweetness of the cane sugar. We have a Belgian pale ale called IAI. A little bit of the story behind the IAI. It took about 7 tries to get it just perfect. And when it was ready, I took a sip and I went, IAI. And my brother's, that's the name of the beer, IAI. And so it is.
Good story. It's good to have a story behind the name.
Yeah. And currently we're doing our sour series. So every so often, Ben will create something sour. We have the lemon drop sour right now. Obviously, being from South America and Colombia, coffee beer is important for us, right? Yeah. So we have, right now we have a coffee Kolsch.
Oh, we just finished the coffee Kolsch. We have the cinnamon coffee.
Oh, cinnamon start. Coffee now. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
So nice. Well, as someone who doesn't sleep enough, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's correct. And then we have the Guava Saison, which is almost to the end, right? Because that's a seasonal beer. Mm-hmm. So we just have a little bit left over on the Guava Saison. And then to complement that, we have a milk stout. So they both alternate depending on the season.
Nice.
It's a milk stout just got released.
Yeah, it's time for milk stouts. The weather, well, it's pretty nice today, but it's supposed to be ugly for the next, 6 months?
Yeah.
This morning wouldn't have been a good milk stout morning.
But no.
This evening is.
Actually, you know, when I was out on site today, it was 3 degrees to start. So other than the time, it was perfect. Do you have any other seasonal beers then that you've got kind of in the rotation, or is it just those two?
No, we have those two, and we're looking to incorporate a couple more into that seasonal lineup that we have, but we're concentrating, like I said before, we're concentrating on the limited releases now and see what happens. Maybe one of those is mm-hmm. great and it becomes part of the lineup of core beers.
Definitely. Do you have theme behind where you're going for these new limited releases other than Colombian?
kind of the theme is variety in my mind. Yeah. I'd like to have something different. I feel like me as a brewer, I like making beer for people to drink. I'm not a brewer's brewer. I think I'm a drinker's brewer. So I'd like to make beers that appeal to everyone. So I want to make sure we have something that anybody can walk in here and find a beer they like. And hopefully even people that don't like beers.
Exactly.
So we've done an IPA. We'll do a pale ale, and we're going to go from there and mix it up to definitely a fruit beer and something stronger through the winter. And yeah, it's going to change all the time. There'll be different ones. So, yeah, that's a vague answer.
Yeah, but no, that's perfect
lots,
answer.
Lots is the answer.
How far and wide does your beer get distributed at this point? Is it just kind of close to home, or does it get
further out? To home? We work on concentric circles, right? So we try to, you know, we do Vancouver and we go out to Pitt Meadows, I think would be the farthest out that we're distributing. But
up the Sea to Sky corridor quite a bit. Squamish, the great people of Squamish by quite a bit.
Yeah,
we're doing really well in Squamish. Don't ask me why, but it's working well. We have a few accounts in Whistler. I think that's the furthest.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure we saturate the market close to home, like you said, and then we'll venture out.
Definitely.
Lots of requests from the interior, Kelowna and Vernon, Nelson even.
Yep.
And the island as well, but baby steps, I think. First, we'll concentrate on locals, and then we'll move out.
Makes sense to me, yeah. And I mean, as soon as you start moving further afield, it costs more to move your beer. So
exactly.
Yeah.
You make less on it, so you've got to make sure you sell beer here first.
Exactly.
All right, why don't we talk about your tasting lounge a little bit? Talk about kind of the design of the space and the feel.
So, yeah, the architects were at Simsek and Urich. They've done a few tasting lounges in town. They did Strange Fellows and the expansion for Dagger Art and a few others. So we went to talk to them and said, listen, we want something that's welcoming, but it reflects something clean, also really clean, but something that represents South America, it represents us. And the lounge was their creation. And for us, one of the bigger things is unity, community. So we wanted a big, 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 big bar where people can sit and talk amongst each other and so forth. So as you enter our lounge, you see a very overmassive bar at our lounge, but that's what we were aiming for, and we wanted to get a good atmosphere, good ambiance, and you know, the music and the videos and so forth. So for us, and allow me to just interrupt for a second here, but for us, what we wanted to deliver was three things: having awesome beer, having a great atmosphere or ambiance, whether it's the five senses, right? And the third pillar that we call was having great customer service. Nothing worse than to go to a lounge and be ignored you know, because some places you feel uncomfortable, right? It just, you know, the IBUs and the Play-Doh, and they talk to you like, you know, and I always pretend I'm nobody and start asking questions to see what the experience is. But for us, it was more, okay, you come here, you have a great time, you forget about everything outside, and when you leave, it just say, you know what, it was such a great experience that I want to come back. I want to be part of that family. So that's what we're aiming for. Aside from having a little bit of ceviche, right, which is always important. So we have some food, ceviche being number one, and then do the platachos, which is nachos, but with plantain chips and beef empanadas and arepas. Not a big menu, but certainly something to satisfy some folks.
Yeah, it's good to have more than just some, you know, cheese breads and pepperoni. It's nice to have an actual menu of interesting foods, and it's got some of your culture in it.
Yeah. We're done very well with that, actually, and people seem to like it, and we like it. I like it.
That's the most important part. If you don't like it, what's the point?
Exactly.
Right? I guess being part of this yeast van brewing scene, what's it like being part of the scene here?
It's amazing. It's really fantastic. I've worked in a lot of different industries over the years, and I mean, craft beer right here, right now, is so friendly, community-minded, collaborative. It's a really incredible thing to be part of. We just did the Yeast Van collaborative beer. That's the West Coast IPA that is really delicious, and everybody came together and worked on that together. And I mean, there's a whole group. We can lean on each other for favors, and it's not competition. It's cooperative. I needed some hops when a delivery was a bit behind, and just made a call out. Hey, anybody nearby have hops? And sure enough, Tom from Cole Harbor stepped up and said, yeah, no problem, come by. And I did, and it's great. And
that's awesome.
I still haven't given them back, and he hasn't made a big deal of it yet. So, yeah, it's fantastic. So, yeah, it's really a dream community and a dream job.
Make sure you give them back, okay?
Oh, yeah. I will, don't worry.
Thank you.
Tom listens. Where do you see the local BC craft beer scene going in the next few years? Things are changing, it seems. Man.
Exploding.
Yeah, I think in the bigger cities, change won't be too much. It's in the smaller communities where there'll be a lot more breweries popping up, a lot of ones just more community focused, and there's a lot of room for that to be. You can be a brewery at any scale and be successful if you're smart and hardworking, you know? So there's, I think there'll just be more and more great beer available, and I think doing road trips is going to be more fun all the time.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, Northern BC is just going crazy suddenly with little breweries popping up all over the place,
winning awards and just making great beer for sure.
I mean, so few people live up there, but there's all these breweries opening up. It's amazing.
Everybody loves beer.
Yeah, they do. And finally learning that there's other beer other than just like light lager.
That's right.
I guess, do you guys have any exciting events or projects kind of coming up in the next couple months?
Yes. So we haven't named the actual event, but it's going to be called something along the lines Summer in the Winter. As you know, down in the Southern Hemisphere is summer now.
Yeah.
And it seems to be that there's a lot of parties going on in breweries during the summer, but none during the winter. So Andina is putting a summer festival in the winter.
Nice.
Which is going to be around the first or second week of February, exactly when there is the most summer down south.
Yeah, so, and the least here, so that's perfect.
So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a great event with great, you know, music and food and et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to happen in the back of our production area.
Nice.
Next to the tanks, so... that's what's coming up, and it's shaping up to be really, really fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah,
I'll make some summer beers in February.
There you go. Before we finish up, is there a beer you've had recently that wasn't brewed here that just blew your mind?
Oh yes,
lots,
many.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It's a hard one, but the one that just really knocked the socks out of my feet was Boombox Citra.
Yeah, you left that one.
That beer. I just open it, you know, like you normally would open a beer, put it in the glass, and you just a first sip, and I was blown. That beer, for me, that beer is fantastic.
Was that the Legend of Citra? Was that one?
Yeah,
the Kilter Brewing collaboration.
Good, yeah. Yes, that beer is phenomenal in my books, and that's a beer that I tried lately that I thought it was very, very well done. Very well done.
Yeah, I'm having trouble just narrowing it down to one. There's so many.
There are many, yes.
Good ones. Well, I mean, this won a BC Beer Award, but the Backcountry Suck at Trebek was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's also fun to say Suck at Trebek. But that double dry hop pale ale was incredible. That I drank quite a few of those.
Yeah, so did I, yeah.
The Sundown Hefe was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sundown's making great beer.
Yeah.
I really haven't had anything from them yet.
Oh, you should.
I know I should. It's just so many beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't keep up. That's for sure.
I guess, is there a beer that you're most proud of so far that you've made since taking over the reins here?
Well, probably the one we're drinking now, the Brumosa IPA. It's the first recipe of mine that I did a big batch of and that we canned. I even came up with the name and designed the label. So
nice.
It's a lot of me in this one.
I have to jump in and say this is 100% Ben's.
Yeah.
From the name, the recipe, the label. He created the label as well. The name of the beer, everything. It's 100% his. And we're really, really proud of that.
That's
really
amazing. Can you talk a little bit about the beer then?
It's sort of, I made a beer that I like to drink. It's 7% IPA, hazy and pretty juicy, a little bitter, but not crazy. And made a really dry finish so that, it doesn't leave you too thirsty. I added, it's Mosaic, Vic's Secret, and I've looked at too many beer recipes today.
Huelmalen.
Huelmalen. Thank you for the third.
I had never tried the Vic's Secret, and now I'm a big fan because of Ben. I find that hop being really, really good.
Yeah, nice. It's fantastic. Really
it's always hard, right? Because you'll fall in love with a hop, and then everyone does, and everyone wants it, and you can't get it. So it's always trying to change it up and get new hops.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's how I started getting Vic's Secret, even, was because there was no Galaxy around, so yeah. I got Vic's Secret.
And then that'll disappear, probably.
Yeah.
It's like Nelson Savant, right?
Yeah.
No one can get it. Everyone wants it.
Yeah.
It's an amazing hop. Did we miss anything you'd like to tell the people about the brewery?
Well, the only thing I want to stress also, the fact that we are very environmentally friendly, or conscientious, whatever you want to say it. But we do try and leave a small footprint in the environment. We have several things that we do to prevent damage to Mother Earth. And one of them is using less chemicals. We have an ozonator machine where we use to use less chemicals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. We have a heat recycling system that takes the water that normally would go down the drains to reheat more water, so that helps with the environment. Of course, biodegradable spoons, paper straws, recycled napkins, et cetera, et cetera. So we're trying to be very friendly to the environment. So I want people to know this, because it's truly something that we really want to continue following, and we want to people to know.
That's very important these days.
Yeah.
Earth's hurting a little bit, so
a little bit.
It's good to do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious if you're driving down Powell Street, that's the big yellow building. But where can people find Andina Brewing?
1507 Powell Street. It's in the corner of McLean and Powell, so between Clark and Commercial. That's a bigger landmark right there, but it's a big yellow building. You have the Pola right up front, can't miss it.
Yeah.
And right now we have our winter hours, so Monday through Thursday we open at 2, close at 11, and then Friday through Sunday 11 to 11.
And I mean, there's lots of buses going by, and there's a lot of breweries here.
Yes.
Don't bother driving, just take transit.
Yeah, exactly.
And what are your social media accounts? Where can people find you there?
So we are in Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and they're all at Andina Brewing Co.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy Pacific Beer Chat and would like to help make the show even better, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/pacificbeerchat, or click on our support tab on the website and check out our affiliate links. We can be found on all podcast apps, as well as hoppedupnetwork.com or pacificbeerchat.com. Leave us a review on iTunes to help raise our exposure and just get us more listeners. Drop us a line at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. And to play us out, here is Lothian by Conundrum by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
all of my marches through the dark. I found out so much then, so much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side.